It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Brother Phil had to go out of town for a funeral. I believe it was up in Michigan. And so he wasn't able to make it back for the service today. Brother Paul and Sister Susie are out of town as well this weekend. So just remember them all in prayer, the Lord will bring them back safely home. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God that knoweth all things, Lord, you know everything about each and every one of us, Lord. And God, you know what our needs are. We ask, Father, for you to come this morning, dear God, and meet those needs. And I pray, dear God, for those that would listen to this service later, Father, that you would meet their needs as well. I pray, dear God, that you will be with Brother Phil and bring him back home safely, and Brother Paul and Sister Susie, Lord. And Father, just we ask now for your guidance in this service, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. What we're going to speak on this morning is whatsoever a man soweth, whatsoever a man soweth. Something that just I felt that for now I went as far as the Lord was directing me on speaking on election, and I just was waiting this week, and this just kept laying on my heart, and I was hesitant about it at first, and it just kept laying on my heart, and be honest with you, nothing else did. So this is what we're speaking on this morning. Amen. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. Amen. You may be seated. No doubt you have heard through your life, you'll reap what you sow. And you've heard it many times, it's the law of nature. If you whatever you sow in your garden, that's what you're going to reap. If you sow corn, why, you're not going to reap tomatoes. You know, you're going to reap corn because that's what you sowed. It's the law of nature. And it's also the law of God that whatever you sow, according to what the word says, that's what you're going to reap. And where it says here, if you sow to the flesh, it's not talking about, you know, things you do to make your body better or whatever and all that. It's not talking about that. What it's talking about is the desires of the flesh, you know, things of the world and pleasures of the world. And all those things, if you sow to that, then you're going to reap corruption. If you sow to sin, then you're going to, that's what you're going to reap. And if you sow to righteousness, well, then that's what you'll reap. And Job actually said that they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness will reap the same. And in Proverbs 11, it says, the wicked worketh the deceitful work, but him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. And so if you sow righteousness, then you're going to reap a good reward. Many times when I think on these things, I think about the two thieves, and you've heard me maybe mention it a few times that were one hanging on either side of Jesus when they were the three being crucified. And the one thief, you know, he joins in with the crowd, says, if you're the Son of God, then save yourself and save us also. And then the other thief, though, rebukes him and tells him, you know, look, this man's not guilty of anything. He shouldn't even be up here with us. And then he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And so up to this time, he was a thief. And that's why he was hanging up there, because he stole things. That's why both of them were hanging up there. They were thieves. And that's what they sowed in life. And so what they ended up reaping was a sentence of death. And when this one said, Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom, he didn't stop that one from reaping what he had sowed. But see, when he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom, he was actually showing his faith that he believed that this was in fact the Son of God. And his faith then, see, he sowed some good seed. And so then the Lord turns to him and says, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Amen. So no matter what his life had been up to that point, at that point he became saved. At that point he was going to heaven. So, you know, it just depends what you sow. And the Bible says in Hosea, sow to yourself righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. And so righteousness. Now, I thought of Brother Branham, and when I was studying these things out, why this actually came up in my research of Brother Branham, when in his life story, he was talking about how that he had had an invitation to, as a young minister, to go and preach to these Pentecostal people. And so he was all set to go, but then his mother-in-law said to him, you're not going to take my daughter around that bunch of trash. See, she thought those holy rollers and everything else, that was a bunch of trash to her. You know, they weren't uptown, upscale, you know, religious people. And so when she said that, well, then he was troubled. And then Brother Branham decided then he wouldn't go after all. And then after that, he said immediately trouble set in. And his wife took sick. And he had two babies, both of them still drinking bottles, and his wife took sick, and they tried everything that they could do for her, and they thought it was pneumonia at first, but it turned out to be tuberculosis of the lungs. And so when they sent her to this hospital in Louisville, well, the doctor told Brother Ram, he said, Reverend, there's not a thing we can do for her. You might as well get ready. She's going to die. And Brother Branham said, you know, he had been praying and praying and praying, and it seemed like just a black sheet would come down before him. And he said, when this doctor told him, said, both her lungs are full of it, and there's no hope of saving her. You might as well get ready to die. He said, what could I do? He said, I kept hearing this voice in my head saying, I called you and give you opportunity, and you wouldn't go. And so Brother Branham said, see, you reap what you sow every time. And when he was in there with his wife and her dying, you know, and she actually passed, and Brother Branham called to her and she came back. And then she asked him, why did you call me back? And, you know, he was saying things to her. And then she said, you know why this is happening, don't you? She said, you should have went down there and preached to those people and not listened to my mother. But said, that's why this is happening. So even his wife coming back realized, this is why I'm dying. This is why this is happening, because you wouldn't obey the Lord. You know, and you know, Brother Branham could sit there and say, well, I'll go now. But see, pardon me. Y'all have to excuse me. I went to the doctor and I've got a new monitor for my blood sugar. And when it goes off low, it sets off an alarm. And I'm waiting for it to come back up. I've drank some stuff and ate some stuff, and I'm waiting for it to come back up. So I can't silence that thing. It overrides everything. But just forgive me. So there's another story I came across. There was this man who was a preacher. And he didn't have a big group or anything, you know, and so he didn't have much of an income. And he was just doing and making do the best he could. And he had dedicated his life to preaching the gospel. And his wife just got kind of fed up with it. And she was telling him, you know, you ought to quit that and go get a job or something, you know, to make better money. And then she got aggravated at him, and she grabbed the Bible off his lap and opened up the stove and threw it in there and burnt the Bible up. And then within a few days after that, she went out and she was hanging up Christmas lights, and something happened to the electricity and she caught fire and burned up. And Brother Branham was telling this story. He said she burned up the same way that she burned up the Bible. And said it was because, he said, you'll reap what you sow. You said she had to pay for it. Said because the Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And you know, the Bible teaches us Israel was God's favored people. You know. And how God cared for them. But no matter what God did for them, they always complained. And no matter how good God treated them, they were always doing stuff wrong. And even though they were his favored people, he still made them reap what they sowed. You know, when they were took out of Egypt, and all they did was just keep complaining about everything. And saying, well, we want to go back. And Aaron, you know, make us another god that'll lead us back to Egypt. And we're tired of this heavenly bread. We want some meat. And everywhere they went, they just complained about everything. You know, no matter how much good God did for them. I mean, God brought water out of a rock to feed them because they was complaining they didn't have any water. But even that wasn't good enough for them. They just complained about everything. Friends, you don't want to be that way, because Israel turned around and they reaped exactly what they sowed. When they said, we're tired of this heavenly bread, we want meat, God said, I'll give you meat till it comes out your nostrils. And you know, God at one time became so angry with them, he told Moses, step aside, I'll wipe them off the face of this earth and I'll raise you up another people. And it was Moses that actually stood there in the gap and said, God, don't do it to them. Don't do it, because if you do, then the other nations will say you're not able to bring your people to where you promised. And so God's anger was subsided then. But then come down time for them to go into the promised land, and they sent out spies. They sent out 12 spies, and there was two spies, Joshua and Caleb, that came back, and they give a good report of the land. They talked about how it was flowing with milk and honey, and how the fruit was so big and so luscious, and we're more than able to take it. But the other 10 said, no, we're not able to take it. Said there's giants in that land. And said, we look like grasshoppers in their sight. You know, I heard Brother Jewel Forney say one time, I wonder which one of them walked over to a giant and said, what do I look like to you? No, that was in their own imagination that they were thinking, well, we must look like grasshoppers to them. You know, but they said, we're not able to take it. And see, Joshua and Caleb, they saw the same people. They saw the same things. They saw the same giants. But see, they also saw the promise of God and believed God's word. But see, these 10 that gave the false report, this bad report, is because they didn't believe God that they would be able to take it. And so God said, all right, none of y'all are going to get it. I'll make you walk here, and they were in a place called Kadesh Barnea, and said, I'll make you walk here until you die. And this generation dies off, and I'll bring the next generation in. And that's exactly what he did, see. And, you know, David in the Bible, King David, why, God even said that David was a man after his own heart. But remember, David, with all the wives he had, he looked over off his roof and saw another woman, another man's wife, and he had a desire for her. And so he sent for her, you know, and of course, him being the king, she came. And so he went in unto her, and she conceived. And then after she conceived, why, David tried to cover it all up. You know, he tried to get the woman's husband to come in from war and go in with her so it would look like it was his child. And he said, no, I'll not do that. While there's war, I'll not do that. And he wouldn't go. So David sent to his captain and said, put him out in the foremost where he'll get killed. And so that's what happened. The man was put out in the foremost and he was killed. Then after he was killed, then David reached out and took his widow to be his wife, you know. And he thought, well, it's all covered up. You know, everything's good to go. Nobody will know. But the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. And so, you know, the prophet Nathan came to David and he told him a story. He said, there was a traveler that was coming through, and this man had many flocks, but his neighbor only had one lamb. And so he took his neighbor's one lamb and made it into meat to serve this traveler. And David said, whoever done that, said, you bring him here, you know, that man's going to die. And Nathan looked at him and said, you're the man. And said, you know, you had all these wives, and here this man had one wife, and you wanted his one wife. Yes. And so said, the child that's been conceived, it's going to die. And David went to prayer and laid on his face before the Lord and was praying, don't take the child, don't let it die. But then the child died anyway, and they come and told David, the child is dead now. And so even David, a man after God's own heart, as God said, God still made him reap what he sowed. But now, you know, did that have anything to do with David's salvation? No. You can do wrong things sometimes, and when you do wrong things, you're going to reap for what you've done. But if you're a child of God, that don't make you not a child of God. It just means you're going to get a whooping. God's going to correct you. God corrects his children. You know, I've heard Brother David Duplice, Brother Branham said, he always said, God don't have no grandchildren. And I never knew exactly what that meant, you know, to get the whole drift of that until I had children. And when I had children, I'll tell you what's the truth. My daddy was a different man. He treated them grandkids different than he treated me. You know, I remember correcting my children. I spanked one of them one time over at his house. And boy, Dad got up and walked out of the house and walked off. And he came back a little bit later and he called me out. And he said, don't you ever do that again here. You know. Oh boy, he never felt that way when it come time to give me a whooping. We'd be out somewhere and I'd do something wrong and Dad'd say, well, you're going to get it when you get home. And brother, he never forgot. And I got it. There was no way I could be as good as I wanted to after that. You know, I was still going to pay. And I'm glad I had a dad that way. And I'm glad my children had me for a dad. and not my dad. Because, you know, that's what he said, God don't have no grandkids. In other words, God ain't going to spoil you. You're a child, you do wrong, God's going to correct you. Amen. And I'll tell you what, friends, I'd rather get a whooping here than to show up on the day of judgment and be in the wrong. I'd rather God correct me now and set my steps right now. Amen. Now, you know, there's a lot of things that's going on in the world today, and they've got these this woke society, you know, they call it, and they, you know, not that maybe you care, but you know what I've been reading about is they're taking like old children's movies and they're remaking them and they got to put gay characters in them and all this stuff, and why they got to do that, it's because they're going insane, that's why. And but Brother Branham says this. He said, don't blame the government. Blame the bunch of backslidden churches for putting things in their politics as they got. They wanted it. That's the reason they voted for it. That's the reason they got it. That's the reason the judgment of God is upon them. They're going to reap what they sow. They're sowing now, but they're going to reap later. And you know, if God would let this nation go on and God wouldn't bring judgment on this nation for all its corruption and homosexuality and all this stuff, I know they could, you know, they could get me maybe for hate speech now. But if God don't judge them over that, I'll tell you, friends, he'd have to raise Sodom and Gomorrah up and apologize to them for burning them up for the same stuff. But see what it is? They don't believe the Bible. They don't want to hear that. I just read this week where the United Methodist Church is having a split. And it's all over I don't know what those initials are, LBJTTC, whatever it is. I can't never get them straight. And I don't mean no disrespect, but I just can't remember what it is. And but it's all over that, whether they'll allow them in church or not, but not only allow them in church, but allow them to be preachers. And so the United Methodist Church is having a split over it, because there's some of them saying, no, sir, no way. And there's others saying with them, we're going to break off, you know. And I just read about that this week. And you know what it is? They don't want to know the truth. They don't want to know the truth. They'd rather take the other way, not realizing they're going to reap for what they're sowing. Amen. That's the law. You know, and I'll tell you what, friends, it don't matter who you are or what you are. It don't matter what status you think you have. This scripture applies. You'll reap what you sow. So the thing about it is, sow good things. You know, and you know, the thing is, Don't ever say anything evil about Christians. Because, you know, you might say, well, maybe some of them, they ain't doing what I think is right or living just right. Let them alone. Pray for them. Let God take care of it. Amen. Let God take care of it. If they're his children, God will whoop them. He'll get them straightened out. I'll tell you what, friends, God's children will not be lost. It's impossible for them to be lost. It's impossible for them to be deceived, and it's impossible for them to be lost. God won't let them go. You know, it's like if you something belonged to you, you owned it, and somebody tried to take it from you, you'd say, oh, no, you're not getting this. This is mine. That's the way God is about his children. He ain't going to let the devil have them, and he ain't going to let you just go your way. You're the elect of God. And if God, whatever God's got to do to get a person's attention, well, he'll do it. If a person's out living, think, well, I'll just live any old way I want to live. But if they belong to God, God's going to get them. Because he ain't going to let them be lost. And I heard Brother Biscoe say one time, he said, they can come easy or they can come hard, but they're coming. You know, and, you know, friends, look, don't give up on your children. You got children that aren't serving God, don't give up on them. Claim them. Amen. And what I mean by that is you pray that God will do something to them. No matter what it takes. Friends, if they got to come down to die, if they give their life to the Lord before they die, you'll see them again. But if they live in this life and live in sin, then you won't see them but one more time. And that'll be at the judgment. And then you won't even look at them the same way. Now, Brother Ram said the cogs of God's prophecy grind slow but sure. The Bible says, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. Friends, I'll tell you what, I have witnessed testimony of people who have done things against God's people, and they end up dying a horrible death. Now, that's if God says, I'm going to do something about it right now. But no matter what, even if they live out their life and it comes down to the day of judgment, they'll have to give an account for whatever they've done. Because the Bible says that all the dead shall rise and all shall stand before the Lord and give an account for what they've done. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it is. And Brother Branham says, the cogs of God's prophecy grind slow but sure. If you do wrong, you think you're getting by, but just remember, young man or woman, it's going to grind right down to your door one of these days. You'll wonder when and how, but it'll be there. You'll reap what you sow every time. God spoke it, and it's got to be so. Hallelujah. But, you know, Abraham. Now, Abraham was a man of God. He was a prophet. And, but Brother Branham said, God made Abraham reap whatever he sowed. But that didn't mean Abraham was lost. Abraham was still a son. You're a child of God. When you're born of the Spirit, friends, you've got everlasting life and you can't no more die than God can die. Now, this body might die. This body's going to die. But you aren't this body. You reside in this body and you can die. Why? Because you're as eternal as God is eternal. Amen. The Bible says, cast your bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. It says that in Ecclesiastes. And what that means is, friends, you said cast your bread upon the water. In other words, what you want done to you, do that for others. How you want people to treat you, you treat them that way. If you want a blessing, Brother Branham says, then be a blessing. Brother Ram says, cast your seed upon the water. It'll return to you someday. Sow the right seed, you'll reap the right crop. If you sow the wrong seed, you'll reap the wrong things. You can't go east and west at the same time. You either go one way or the other. You're either pointed toward God this morning, or you're with all you've got looking to him, or you're pointed the other way. You think sometimes you're right when you're going wrong, but you can't go right and be wrong. You'll come out, if you headed left, you'll go left, and you'll come out left. But if you head right, you'll come out right. You can't keep from coming out right. It may seem like you're going wrong, but you're going right. Follow the compass. The compass is the Holy Spirit. You know, and God, look, friends, God is going to reward each and every one of you for anything you do. He says, the least you've done it unto these my children, you've done it unto me. So whatever you do for one another, you're actually doing that for God. And that's the way God counts it. You know, you husbands and wives, things you do for one another, you're doing that as service to God. God counts that. You'll be rewarded for it. Be the best you can be at whatever it is God's got you placed in being. Amen. And you know, whatever life you live, Brother Bram said, that's the life you're going to reap. He said, so just as you sow, you reap. I was 46 years old the other day, he said, and God's let me live long enough to see you can't do wrong and get by. You've got to do the right thing. Don't ever go against the feelings of the Holy Spirit when he tells you to do something. No matter what the world says, you do what he says do. He'll always vindicate the truth and keep the truth straightened out. My daddy used to tell me, he said, look, the truth will always vindicate itself. It might take a while, it might be slow, but it will come out. You know, many times when things, maybe somebody said something about us that's wrong, you know, they maybe told a lie on us. And, you know, we would like to run around, as humans, we'd like to run around, straighten all that out, say, no, that's not true. I didn't do that. I wasn't like that. But friends, you don't got to worry about that. Just leave that leave that up to God, because the truth will eventually come out. It may not be to the day of judgment, but it'll come out one of these days. Hallelujah. You know, many times we've done good things and we've got our life dedicated to the Lord, and we've asked God something in prayer. We've asked for something, you know, whatever it may be, something, a need that we have in our life, or something, and then we wonder, when is that ever going to be fulfilled? When's that prayer going to be answered? Don't worry, it'll be answered in the right season. God has a season for everything. Amen. In Ecclesiastes, it says that. God, he says, you know, there's a time to weep and there's a time to rejoice. That's what the preacher says in Ecclesiastes. And, you know, so there's always a season when a time comes for things to happen. You know, look at Noah, 120 years he preached that it's going to rain and it's going to be a flood. And for 120 years, people made fun of him because they said he's been preaching this, you know, maybe year 100. They said he's been preaching this for 100 years and we ain't never seen a drop of water come out of the sky. But 20 years later, it started to rain. There come a time when it was time for it to come to pass. And when it was time for it to come to pass, God told Noah, said, go get in the ark. And then the Bible tells us Noah didn't shut the door on the ark. God did. And when God shut the door on the ark, time was over. You know, when the water started falling out of the sky, people could run up there and beat on the ark and say, we believe you now. Hey, God shut the door. I didn't shut it, and I can't open it, Noah would say. You know, it was over, you know. And so, come while there's mercy. Yes. Give your life to the Lord and serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. Live right. Amen. We're at the end time, friends. We're at the end road. You know, I remember when I was just a boy hearing that. We're at the end time. And I go back in my mind and I look at those times. I look at how things was in our government, and I look at how things was in our nation and how things were, you know, and a lot of those things that looked so innocent back then, now they've matured into what they are today. Yeah. And, you know, back when I was a kid, why, gays and lesbians and all them, they were definitely in the closet. Yeah. And, you know, you know, when I was in the army, why, you know, somebody was of that, what do you want to call it, persuasion or whatever, why, they didn't let that be known. They might get the snot beat out of them, you know, because, hey, nobody wanted to go in the showers with somebody else like that. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. the showers that I had in the Army, you didn't have no curtains. You didn't have no partitioned off sections. It was just one big room with spigots coming out of the wall, you know, shower heads, and everybody, you was just in there. You know, and the girls had theirs and the boys had theirs, but you was just in there. You know, and, you know, but today, you know, they went from a time under a president that said, don't ask, don't tell, to now it's acceptable. See how this world's changing? We are definitely at the end time. It's getting more and more like Sodom and Gomorrah, friends. And just in case you didn't know the history of Sodom and Gomorrah, remember when God came down to commune with Abraham, why Abraham knew that Lot was down there in Sodom. And so God told Abraham, said, I'm going down there and I'm going to destroy Sodom. I'm going to burn that thing off the face of the earth. And God, then Abraham began to plead for Lot's case, said, well, would you spare it if there's only 100 that's okay? And God said, yeah, maybe 100. And then he said, well, what if it's just 50? And Abraham kept going on like that until he said, what if it's only one? And, you know, Lot, he was pleading for Lot. But God sent two angels down there to go get Lot and his wife and his family and take them out of Sodom before he destroyed it. And when they went down there, why, these two men, they were angels, but they were as men. And they went, and when they went into Lot's home, Lot pulled them into the house quickly, you know, and before you knew it, the men of Sodom began to come and beat on Lot's door and said, give us them two men that we might know them. If you know anything about the Bible, when it says know them, it's talking about having a relationship with. And so they wanted those men. And the Bible, Lot says, I've got two daughters and they're virgins. Says, I'll let you have them. They said, we don't want them. We want them two men. So you see what was up with Sodom. And God burnt that thing off the face of the earth. And right before that, he took Lot and his wife and his daughters out of there. And remember, Lot's wife, the Bible says, Lot's wife turned to look back. And the angels told him, don't even look back. But she turned to look back. Why was it? Her heart was still there. And the Bible says she turned to a pillar of salt. We're at the end time, friends. You can tell it by the things, how things are. You know, did you know that you only got so many heartbeats in your life?
Yes, sir.
Not everybody has the same amount, but God's only allotted you so many heartbeats, and every time your heart beats, that's one less time it's going to beat. And one time it's going to beat its last time. And then it's going to be over, and you'll leave this life. And when you leave this life, the Bible says, he that's filthy, let him be filthy still. And he's as righteous, let him be righteous still. It don't change you. If you leave here saved, then you're saved. But if your person leaves here lost, then friends, they stay lost. Hallelujah. So it behoove you. You know, the thing is, one of these days, we're all going, you know, if time tarries, we'll all end up going by the way of the grave. I'm sure there's going to be some, because the Bible says they that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them that's resurrected. But there's a lot of us that's going to go by the way of the grave as time tarries. But we're promised the morning star. We're promised a resurrection. Hallelujah. And we're promised, amen, there'll be light to help us cross the river.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, you know, from what I've said and preached today, the thing is, I want to point, if you want to be a blessing, if you want a blessing, then be a blessing. How you treat other people, that's how you're going to be treated. Now, I mean by God and God's people. Now, I know the world, you know, there's going to be people that ain't never going to treat you right. You can do good for them and they don't mean nothing to them. I'll tell you, friends, we've had people come in out of the church. We've paid rent for them. We've bought furniture for them. We've bought washing machines and dryers for them. We've done all kinds of things. And then walk off and leave the stuff like it didn't mean nothing. And leave the church in the meantime too. I'll tell you what, friends, they'll have to answer on the day of judgment for that, because it ain't our money, that's God's money. Hallelujah. I would never want to do something against the church. I would never want to do something against God's people. No. Friends, look, be careful how you treat one another. You know, my dad used to say, be careful how you treat your wife. Be careful how you treat your husband. He said, because that's a son and daughter of God. They belong to God before they belong to you. Be careful how you treat your children. God's given them to you in your trust, you know, because he in your care, God will hold you accountable for how you raise them and what you do and how you teach them and how you take care of them. You'll have to answer for that. And the Bible says, if you train them up in the way they should go, that when they're old, they'll not depart. Now, it don't say they won't depart when they hit teenage and 20 or whatever, but it says when they get old. So it might take a while for them to come back. But I'll tell you what, the cogs of God are sure.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you what, friends. Look, I've got a son that's left this message. And, you know, and I've got some other ones that's left this message. And the thing is, if they keep going on the way they're going, they're going to be lost. And there's nothing I can do to change that. But the only thing I can do is pray for them that God will turn them around. And the thing is, Brother Branham says, if they belong to God, then God will. You know, those that belong to God, if they're elect of God, God will take care of it. And what I wanted to tell you is this. I'd rather see them come down to death and leave this world and get saved on their deathbed than to live out the rest of their life. I think about my grandkids, some of them not being raised right. If they are, you know, if some of them heard this, my kids heard this, why, you know, they would say, what in the world's wrong with you? But they're being raised in the things of the world. And I think about that. And I'll be honest with you, friends, I'd rather see God take them out of this life and then be saved than to live out a long life and be in sin. Because, friends, look, if they die in sin, I'm not going to see them no more except at the judgment, and then I won't even look at them the same way. And I'll spend eternity without them. I'd rather lose them in this life and have them in the next life than to have them in this life and lose them in the next life. And you know what? As a parent, it's a hard thing to pray, God, do whatever it takes. It's a hard thing to do that. But if you really love them, I mean with God's love, Not this human love. This human love wants to save the flesh. But if you love them with the agape love, God's love, friends, you'll want to see what it, God, just do whatever it takes. If you gotta break their life up and take everything they got from them, God, just turn them around. Hallelujah. Let's stand. I didn't know how long this message would be today or how short it would be. Believe it or not, it was more pages than what normally I have. But we've preached it. Now it's left my heart. God laid it on my heart. Now it's left my heart. Now it's on your hands. Amen. What you do with it. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, dear God, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your long suffering. I thank you, Lord, that you, Lord, when we weren't living right, dear God, you wouldn't let us keep going that way. You turned us around. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for saving my soul, the song says, Lord. Lord, I'm just so grateful. I just can't express just how grateful I am for what you've done for us, Lord. Lord, I long and I look forward to a time when we'll get to see you face to face. Lord, and never leave you again. Lord, but you said in this life you'd be with us. You'd never leave us nor forsake us, not even to the end of the world. And Lord, you're with us. We might not be able to see you, Lord, in flesh, except for seeing you in one another, Lord, but one day we will see you. And even though we can't see you now, you're still with us. Your presence goes with us. You protect us. You keep us, dear God. Lord, I believe, Lord, that there's times that's passed in our lives where our life could have ended. And Lord, you saved it. You kept it. And sometimes we didn't even know a thing about it. Lord, but you care for us. You said, Lord, think about the birds of the air. You know, Lord, they don't sow nor reap, but they're fed by the master's hand. He takes care of them. Lord, if you take care of the birds of the air, how much more do you take care of your children? Lord, I pray your blessings on the people today, Lord. I pray you'll bless them, Father. Bless their fellowship. Bless their time together. Lord, may it be, Lord, to edify one another and bring glory to you. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.